Hello, welcome to episode 23 of the Remote Hive podcast. In this week's episode, I'm going to be talking and offering some advice on how to find your first freelance client. It was a topic requested from a listener. So yes, if you have any topic requests or anything you'd like me to cover, any questions about remote working and full-time travel, then please do drop me an email, hello@hivevine.com. Also, the show notes for this episode are at hivevine.com/podcast. That's hivevine.com, hivevine.com/podcast. Since I've come back to doing the podcast every Thursday, I'm starting to get a few emails from you all, and that is great because when you are creating a podcast, it can often feel that you are just talking to a fluffy microphone. So thank you to those of you that do email me. Please do. I love the engagement, and that is the reason why I create the podcast and all of the other content that I create. And by the way, if you don't know, I'm currently in Prague. Beautiful city. I'm in the countryside. Beautiful fields, lakes, beautiful place to go for a walk in the morning. So yes, I'm loving it here. But in 10 days, I'm going to be heading back to Bangkok in Thailand. Not been there for a little while now, so looking forward to going back there. Anyway, I'm digressing. Let's get on with this week's episode. First is the listener question. This week's question is by Julie, and she says, "Love your content, Darren. I'm taking my first steps into freelancing with a goal of working remotely and travelling just like you. I've been approached to edit videos for an agency, but I'm unsure how much to charge them. Do you have any advice on this?" It's a really good question because when you are starting out freelancing, it's very difficult to gauge how much to charge. You don't want to go in too high or even too low, so getting the rate that you want to charge is really important. So here are some tips around that. Firstly, I would gather more information about the project because editing a video can take anything from a couple of hours to a couple of days, depending on obviously how much footage you have to go through. And also, how much editing do they want you to do? Do they want you to add effects and text and graphics? That obviously all takes additional time. So what I would ask them to do is to send you a video that they want you to edit, or at least the clips that they want you to edit into a video. Then you can gauge, one, how good the content is. For example, are you going to have to stabilize all the footage, which can take additional time? Or is the footage good and it's going to be really easy for you to edit it? Just get a feeling of how big of a job it really is. I think that's super important to do that from the outset. And then you're able to give them a good idea on how long it's going to take and how much you'll charge. What I would also do is ask them for an example of a video that they've previously published so you can get an idea and a feel of what they're looking for. Also, ask them for a style guide. That will help you decide how you are going to edit that video and how much is involved in it. Now you can charge them per hour, per video, or you could charge them for a project if there's a certain number of videos that they want you to edit. Don't forget that the figure that you are giving them will be subject to taxes, and also if you're in the UK, then national insurance as well. So bear that in mind, along with any other fees that you are going to have to pay. Maybe you have to pay for Adobe every month. Factor that into the cost. Or any other apps and software that you will use to actually edit that video. And be honest with yourself. How much money do you want to come out of that project net? Really give that some thought. And then you can work out how many hours it's going to take you. And then charge an appropriate rate. What do you want to be paid? Really important to think about that. Don't undervalue your skills. Also, bear in mind the value of that video to your clients. That agency is probably going to be getting a large amount of money, literally thousands, for creating that video for a brand. So really give that some thought as well. You want a decent cut of that money that they are receiving. What I would also do, Julie, is think about what your competition are charging and undercut them a little bit. Really think about that. Never undervalue yourself, even if you are new and starting out. You have a skill and you should be paid for that skill. And that goes along with any type of work that you do. We're just talking about video here, but everything that I just mentioned applies with any work that you are doing as a freelancer. At the end of the day, just think about what you want to get out of doing that video. And over time, your rates will change. You'll get to grips with what people are willing to pay. But at the end of the day, just charge what you feel you are worth. I can remember when I first started freelancing myself, and for the first 6 months or so, I charged all sorts of different rates of pay. But then I realised what I was worth. I realised what people were willing to pay, and I charged accordingly. At the end of the day, you need to make a living. You have expenses like everybody else, so don't be afraid to charge what you feel you are worth. My final piece of advice on this is super, super important. Always make sure that you take at least 50% before you start working for that company. If they're not prepared to pay 50%, then don't do the work. Honestly, if they are not prepared to pay you a little bit early, 50%, then they're just not worth working with. And that might be really hard to take as a new freelancer, but it's just going to cover you, because on most occasions, those people that are not prepared to pay 50% up front will not pay you on time or at all when it comes to receiving final payment. And make sure that anything that you send them video wise has a watermark on it so they cannot steal it. You want to be paid first before you give them the actual video files or whatever work you are doing. Now, there's some exceptions. For example, writing, I don't know why, but writers just accept payment when they've sent the work, and I just feel it's the wrong way to go. I understand why people do that, but I personally feel if you want me to write an article and I'm going to charge you £200, I want at least £100 before I will start to write it. And if you really want work from me, then you'll pay it. That's the way I look at it as a freelancer. You have to cover yourself. I hope that answer helps you, Julie. But yes, it's going to be a little bit tricky at first, it will get easier the more work you do as a freelancer. Apologies in advance if I sound a little bit wheezy and a bit tight on the chest. It's just that I've been coming through from a cold and a chest infection and cough. So yeah, just bear with me for this episode. But anyway, let's get into the meaty bit of the episode, and that is how to find your first freelance client. What you have to realise as a freelancer is that companies have no idea who you are. You have to be an action taker. People are not going to come to you and ask you to do work until you've built a reputation, until you've built an online presence, and that takes time. So be an action taker. The first thing that you need to do is to create content to showcase your skills. So that could be having videos on YouTube showing that you are a software developer or you are a graphic designer. Maybe you could do a time lapse of you creating a logo or something like that. You could write articles on medium.com, and that way you will be able to showcase your writing skills. You could create videos and photos on Instagram if you are a photo or video editor. You could create your own website and create content on there to showcase your skills. If you are doing quality assurance like myself, then you could write about that topic on your website or on a site like Medium, as I mentioned. Really think about how you can showcase your skills and build your online presence. Super important. Once you've started to create content to showcase your skills, the next step really is starting to build a network. And LinkedIn is super powerful. I've been active on LinkedIn now for nearly 2 months, and my posts are getting thousands of views. And the reason for that is keeping it really short and sweet, just giving little tidbits of information and advice. Super important, add lots of value, help people. Hashtag the posts, just 4 to 5 hashtags around the topic of the post. Maybe add a video or a photo, and they get views, they really do. So LinkedIn could also be somewhere that you showcase your skills. You could just use LinkedIn alone to showcase your skills and also network as well. And you need to be networking with businesses that you feel that you can help. Businesses that you feel actually need your skills. It's really important to build connections and get involved in discussions and conversations and build that relationship. And then when you've done that, you can start to reach out to people. Twitter, I find, is another great place for networking. Over the years, I've used Twitter since around 2007, and I used to organise an annual event during the World Travel Market in London. And what I used to do is actually get sponsors for that event through building relationships on Twitter. Every single year, I had 3 to 4 sponsors of this evening events in London, and it was a great way to network and build relationships. So Twitter, another great place to do the networking. When you've built those relationships and you've started to make connections, then what you can do is create a shortlist of companies that you feel would really value your services, your skills. Companies that need you, need your skills. Start to create a shortlist and reach out to them. Now, obviously, those people that you are building a relationship with, that you are connecting with on LinkedIn and Twitter, those are the people that you would start off with because they know you. They can see the content that you've been creating and you've been showcasing your skills to the world on that. So, LinkedIn, Twitter, building relationships and then reaching out is a great way to start to build your first freelance clients. Many freelancers start out by bidding on projects on Upwork. And being completely honest, you need to focus on your own client base. It is so, so competitive being on these freelance platforms. Upwork is just one of them. You've got Fiverr, you've got PeoplePer, Hour. There's just so many of these freelancing platforms, very competitive, but you need to be charging what you are worth. And when you are bidding for projects, a lot of those companies are basing the bids on the price. They're not looking too much into the quality. They just want to get it done as cheap as possible. It's the truth. Over time, you'll build an authority. People will know you as the person in your niche, the person who's got those skills, and they will come to you directly. Takes a little bit of time, but you have to create that content. You have to build that trust, and building that trust takes time. As I said, as part of the listener question, I feel it's really important that where you can, actually charge 50% up front and make sure that they pay that before you start the work. The advantage of using the likes of Upwork is that they keep the client's money to one side until you've completed the work and then you are paid. But like I said, I would really focus on your own clients and trying to work with people that you get along with. You know, if you've built a relationship up with somebody and you really like that person and they come across as being trustworthy and also you're keen to work for them and the work that they do, you value, then definitely that's what you should be focusing on. Another piece of advice I would give you as a new freelancer is don't just do the communication through email. Also back it up with a phone call because you can get to really know that person by speaking to them. How they come across to you on the phone, how they engage with you will send you the signals of, yes, this person is good to work for, or, oh my God, this person is just so demanding. they want so much doing with, you know, such a small budget, and then you know just to walk away from those people. Now, the advantage of freelancing is you can say when you work those hours. So you've got total freedom and flexibility. You can command the rate of pay that you feel you are worth. Not like when you are working as an employee, you have to get paid whatever they are offering you if you accept what they're offering you. But it's also super important that you have good money management skills, because you just don't know when people are going to pay the invoices. Some people can pay very quickly. Some people can take a month, 2 months, 3 months. I've even heard of writers getting paid 12 months after they've had the article published. So, just bear that in mind. Make sure that you have good money management and you keep money in your savings. I always recommend 3 to 6 months savings. Should work dry up, should it get a little bit quiet over the holiday seasons, really important to be good with your money. I'm hoping that this advice is going to help people who are thinking about becoming a freelancer or have an opportunity to start to become one. Maybe if it is something that you want to do and you are thinking about it, don't quit your day job until you start to get clients. Try and do the freelance work in your spare time, at the weekend, in the evenings, rather than just quitting a job on the hope that you're going to make a similar amount of money each month, because it's very inconsistent when you are going to get paid. So don't quit your day job until you've got a good client base that are giving you work regularly. That's super important. A lot of people just rush out there because they've got one or two jobs, and then it dries up and it gets difficult and the stressing. And believe me, from experience, there is nothing worse than worrying about money, wondering when your next paycheck is going to come in. So just bear that in mind when you are thinking about escaping the office to become a freelancer. Make sure that you plan it, you have a good exit strategy. And that's the kind of thing that I can help with. If you are wanting to become a freelancer and quit your job, then that's my role as a coach, to help you, guide you through that process, and together come up with an exit strategy that's going to allow you to do this easily and smoothly. As I said earlier in the podcast episode, if you have any questions or requests for topics that you would like me to cover in this podcast, please do email me hello@hivevine.com and I will respond. If I don't do it in the podcast episode, if you ask a question, I'll definitely do it in an article or a video. So please do send me your questions and also your topic requests, and I will cover them in future episodes. Also, don't forget about The Hive, my free weekly email. You can subscribe to that on the website with the show notes, hivevine.com/podcast. And that is it for this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you found it useful. Please do share the podcast, subscribe on your favourite podcasting app. And until next Thursday, have a great weekend and week ahead. Take care.